This recording is labeled explicit, but your audience is only. Parental discretion is advised.
I am hard, but I am fair. There is no racial bigotry here. I do not look down on niggers, kites, wops, or greasers. Here you are all equally worthless. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
The following program is brought to you in Honky Vision. Dr. Moe, the Danger Zone.
This is the Rude Guy, checking in from Maui, and this is the show with something to offend everybody.
Hi, this is LT with O1LT.com, and you are listening to Dr. Moe with the Danger Zone Show.
Hello, bitches. This is Dr. Moe. Welcome to the Danger Zone.
We don't get fooled again. Don't get fooled again. No, no.
All right, welcome to the Danger Zone Show. This is Dr. Mo. Welcoming new listeners and old alike. So Rush Limbaugh being interviewed on Fox talking about his drug past and him coming from a poor family and all the good conservative things. Then he goes on to say, you know, I like myself. I love listening to myself. He sounds like Dr. Mo a little bit. I express conservatism. I'm leading a revolution here on AM talk radio. Yes, I'm the king of AM waves. Nobody is going to compete with me because I am the one. It's a Rush Limbaugh. There's a thing out in the news that the Hillary Clinton campaign camp apparently has something on Barack Obama. And they've put the word out, yet they've denied it consistently. The Barack Obama camp came back and said, well, if you got something, the Hillary Clinton camp says they have something. They need to come out with it so we can discuss it properly together as a nation. I'm Barack Obama. I'm Rush Limbaugh. They sound extremely alike. But anyway, Barack Obama comes out and says, listen, you got something on me. Let me hear it. Let me see it. And now the Clinton camp is saying, we ain't got nothing. And stop harassing us. And so what does Rush Limbaugh say about this? Very interesting, fat young white man. Old white man who used to take pills to feel better. He says, Obama, the underlying thing here is that Obama is black, and Hillary Clinton is a white woman, so there's undoubtedly overtones of racism in this. He loves this. He wants to stir something against the Democrats. Being a conservative himself, the best thing he could do is stir it up on the liberal side, and then he now basically denounces the Hillary Clinton camp for racism against the Barack Obama camp. How interesting is this? Rush Limbaugh calling for racism. I mean, he's really an idiot. I'm going to go through what Bill O'Reilly said in another show when he went to the Harlem restaurant called Sylvia's, famous soul food place. So he says, you know, there's racism here. Rush Limbaugh, you're an absolute idiot. I can't even begin to tell you how much of a dummy you are, but you certainly should have ended up in jail. Speaking of the prison system, it's a costly and harmful failure. The number of Americans in prison has risen eightfold since 1970, apparently with little impact on crime whatsoever. How about that? More people we have in jail. More people we have coming out of jail and doing shit. It's cost taxpayers, you and I, a great deal so far. And there's a system out there calling for a major justice system overhaul. It recommends shorter sentences and parole terms, alternative punishments, maybe punishment where you freeze them and teach them how to knit, like in Demolition Man with Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone, who's coming back for a Rambo, as a matter of fact. He's going to redo a Rambo. It's just going to be called Rambo. In this one, he's in Burma, and he's, you know, having self-pity and drinking and eating coconut skins or whatever the fuck he's doing out there. And then all of a sudden, his humanity is called back to attention and to service when he intercepts a group of Burmese people migrating across the country to seek either food, shelter, or peace. And he decides to escort them across the country, and that's Rambo. So the next Rambo, ladies and gentlemen, from John Rambo, the soldier who pretty much beat up the whole army because he was a Vietnam vet who came back and something went wrong, I guess, in his head. He just kind of lost it there. He was fighting everybody. And then he went on to more and more spectacular feats by being an international, you know, SEAL team, kicking everybody's ass with just a rag and a knife. And sort of a, you know, MacGyver of the times, if you will, Afghanistan, Russian War, major sort of conflicts, truly a child of the 80s. And in this show, though, he's apparently going to be making his way through the jungle in Burma, and I just don't know how that's going to help anybody. He is going to be accompanying them through the jungle and protecting them from the crazy Burma military people who, as a matter of fact, hey, lest we forget, I mentioned this being what's her name? Laura Bush's cause. She was all hard up on the Burmese people. And at some point, her husband got tired of talking and listening to her yap about it. So he makes it a cause. He says, I'm going to go to the UN. He goes to the UN so they can do something about it. And he knows damn well the UN ain't going to do shit about it. But he says, all right, don't worry, honey. I'm going to the UN. You can shut up now. He goes over there. Now, all of a sudden, Burma, somewhat at the forefront of the news today, where, you know, these people, the military is really going nuts and taking people down and, you know, beating them in the streets. There's a picture of a cop trying to beat up somebody in Burma. He looks like a fag. He's hitting them overhanded like a bitch. Oy, I guess they have no guns. Take people down, but. So, you know, Burma is on the news. President Bush talking about Burma. All of these people in jail. Not just that, but you're looking at Rambo in that climate. There is absolutely nothing exciting or action-packed about Rambo helping a couple of monks traverse the perilous jungles of a country now called Myanmar. And what is it with, how come we're the only ones calling it Myanmar? It's all over the news. Everybody's saying Burma. I remember back, I don't know if it was in high school, that this country's name was changed to Myanmar. That they're still calling it fucking Burma on the news. What is the deal there? So Rambo back for another dull movie. He wants to expose a new generation to Rambo. We already got, you know, listen, we watched Jarhead with Jamie Foxx and the other white dude, all right? Do us a favor. That's what we're looking at right now. Rambo's over. The kids can't even remember that far. What are you talking about? You're 60 years old. You're 60 freaking years old, dude. Get a rest. You should be at the VA hospital. Stop running around the goddamn jungle saving people in robes. Damn it. Right? It's over. Goes right in the bag with Oscar. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. Now, I'm not going to say Tango and Cash was really great. But you could see how short that motherfucker was, though. A short little bastard. Hey, look up. I'm here, Stallone. Look at me, Stallone. He kept his ass in jail. Anyway, so the jail situation, it's not helping. It is really not helping. The prison population is projected to grow by another 192,000 in 5 years, and this is going to cost us $27.5 billion to build and operate additional prisons. Another interesting fact, at current rates, one-third of all black males, wow, one-sixth of Latino males, and 1 in 17 white males will go to prison during their lives. One-third of all black males. That's amazing. A third of the black males in America currently will go to jail at some point. Oh man, that's scary. I mean, they're really predicting this shit, and this is real. This is not a joke. Women represent the fastest growing segment of the prison population. The result is obviously increased social and racial inequality. The massive incarceration of young males from mostly poor and working class neighborhoods and the taking of women from their families and jobs will cripple their potential for forming healthy families and achieving any kind of economic gains or growth. This is not a good thing for America to be facing this bleak future regarding prison. Meanwhile, make sure to catch Lock Up on MSNBC. It's a great show about people in jail. Let you know, don't do this. Unless you're Lindsay Lohan. Then you get to, Lindsay Lohan gets to only spend 84 minutes in jail. Paris Hilton, 24 hours. Nothing. These guys, they're in and out. I mean, DWI, third offense, everything. In and out. Best lawyers in Miami. They'll have you working in Alaska. So dress warm. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, here's a news flash. Motor City has been named the nation's most dangerous place. Great. That's another blow to Detroit's tarnished image. They pushed past St. Louis to become the nation's most dangerous city. And that's been released Sunday by the FBI crime statistics. Yikes. That is horrible. A lot of people were saying, you know, this is not right to use this crime data in that way to tarnish Detroit's opinion. The report looked at 378 cities with at least 75,000 people. And last year's crime leader was St. Louis. Another Michigan city, Flint, Michigan, along with Detroit, has been ranked third. So Detroit and Flint, Michigan, two of the most dangerous cities in the world. Oakland, California. Camden, New Jersey. Heard a lot of bad things about this place. Birmingham, Alabama. Man, there's been violence out there since they were freaking water hosing Negroes. Look at that. No good. North Charleston, South Carolina. Isn't that plantation land out there? There's a lot of black people in all those places. Memphis, Tennessee, Richmond, California, and Cleveland, Ohio. The safest cities in New Jersey, in the world actually, in America, include Mission Viejo, California, followed by Clarkstown, New York, Brick Township, New Jersey, Amherst, New York, and Sugar Land, Texas. Any place called Sugar Land, I don't think it's going to be too dangerous, unless you're coming over with truckloads of cocaine looking to make a hobby living. Hey now. Bad place. That place, Detroit, was pegged the nation's murder capital in the 80s. Way back then, they were bad. They've lost nearly a million people since 1950. People are just walking out of that place. 919,000 remain. I guess of a city of 2 million people. The Detroit police is not declining these results. As a matter of fact, they're just not commenting. You know, do you think that a report like that coming out is, you think that's a bad thing? So, for the city, I mean, the FBI puts this thing out, puts these numbers out. People go out, do research, you know, come out with the numbers that the FBI has, which have to be right. Then you come out, you say, turns out, based on statistics, the number of crimes, Detroit is the worst place in the country right now. And the FBI goes, hey, wait a minute, you can't use our numbers to make that determination. Who the fuck are you to tell me what I can do with your numbers? You put the fucking numbers out and then shut the fuck up. I'm going to do with it what I feel is right. And if you don't want me to do that, if you want to control yet another aspect of my individuality, my willpower, my independence and freedom, then take the fucking numbers down and I'll figure something else out. I'll figure out what the numbers are, buddy. Well, bad, bad, bad city, Detroit. No wonder me from Fishow left Detroit and moved to Atlanta. I'm sure the fact that the city is not a safe place at all, compounded with the other fact that his house was robbed, made his exit a little easier. Speaking of troubled black cities, this is a shame. Our New Orleans city, city of New Orleans, all our chocolate city, we got all these chocolate cities, which are traditionally cities where there's a large black population. Our chocolate cities are in trouble. They are hurting. And this whole report about the prison population thing certainly doesn't help. So we've got to look at this. Remember, it looks as though one-third of all black men in America will be in prison at one point in their life. And most likely for a long time. They're decimating the black men. Something, there is a disease killing the black man. And white people go, oh, I don't care. As long as they don't do that shit they do on BET, I don't give a shit. All right? All the pimps and the rides and the hoes and the cash and the you know, all that shit. And the guns and the gangs and the finger signs and the yo, what up? And the bitches and the booties. And the, you know, the Cristal, and, which is banned, I think, by black people. You know, whatever. New Orleans, the council of New Orleans, the city council, is again majority white. It is now white. Unbelievable. A former councilwoman won at large a seat on the New Orleans City Council, creating the first white majority in more than two decades. She defeated Cynthia Willard Lewis, who is black, with 53% of the vote. Jacqueline Clarkson is 71. She'll take a seat. When Oliver Thomas, who is black, vacates his. He resigned in August after pleading guilty to a bribery charge. Great. All the black people are falling due to criminal action. He's going to end up in jail. He's part of that one-third of black men that's going to end up in jail. You want to ask him the question, what the fuck were you thinking? Why do you want to be a statistic? So the white bitch takes over for the black dude. Makes you think if Obama wins and Hillary becomes vice president, is he going to get embroiled and embattled in some other black integrity thing and leave his job and have Hillary now take his spot? White women are great at picking up after black men. They just come in and grab the shit because you're sure to fuck up. Unbelievable. So New Orleans is now white. The council, the entire council. The first black mayor of New Orleans was elected in 1978, Ernest Dutch Morial. And he succeeded New Orleans' last white mayor, Moon Landrieu. You got all these fucking French names in New Orleans. Maybe Jack Smith or Willie Johnson. All right, fuck this Landrieu, Devereaux, Lemieux. I mean, get the fuck out of here. What is that? What are you killing me here? You got enough problems. The new Microsoft Zune media player is in short supply. The 80 gig launch Tuesday is sold out across the web. Nobody can get it. There's a 4 gig version, 8 gig version. They're working on an 80 gig version in the next 2 weeks or so. Apparently it's just huge. People are loving it. They're making tons of money with it. And hopefully this is going to help a lot of people. I found out that in China, a portion of the population is using used condoms for hair bands. Yikes! What is going on? A bag of 10 hair ties made out of these used condoms cost about 3 cents at local markets. And A lot of girls are using it. Dermatologist says there's a lot of bacteria and viruses on the rubber bands and hair ties made from used condoms. Really? Come on, it's just nut juice. Yikes. Hey, apparently there's a cop in Bolingbrook, Illinois, home of Oprah Winfrey, Negro Woman of the South, and Barack Obama. I'm whiter than white, y'all, and I'm white, y'all. I'm white, y'all. I'm whiter than white, and I'm white, y'all. I can look. Look. He tells you, right? He's like, look, look. All right? So this cop is accused, is pretty much suspected of killing his ex-wife, Stacy Peterson, the wife of Drew Peterson. Stacy is a 23-year-old mother of two, 23-year-old chick married to this guy, Drew Peterson, ex-cop who retired and married its fourth wife, Stacy. This guy's a retired 5-0. They got two kids, 4 and 2. And he married a chick who's like 23. 23, fifth wife. I think they're married 4 or 6 years or something. But she's very young. He married her like she was 16 or some shit. Anyway, you know, he goes, do you have a message for Stacy? The media finally cornered him. He's been an asshole. He's not wanted to say anything on the news, but media cornered him and asked him, hey, is there anything you want to say to Stacy? And he says, go home. Go home? The guy's wife is missing. Nobody knows where she is. People think he killed her. They ask her what message he wants. They ask him what message he wants to convey to her. He says, go home. As in, leave where you are and go home. He must be thinking one of two things. One, she's fucking somebody else, cheating on him, because obviously he's had that problem because he's an old guy, maybe can't get it up, and that's why they leave his ass. Either he's thinking she's banging somebody else, or she just, you know, left thinking, you know, it's greener on the other side, whatever reason, I'm not have a plan, I'm doing something else. So he's thinking something like, she did this to him. Either that, or he actually killed the bitch, and now you can't find him. He's a cop, I'm sure he's watched every police show, fantasized, played it out on the street with real criminals. I don't know how criminal Bolingbrook is, but now he's apparently in this position where his wife has disappeared, he's being questioned, and he's not saying anything that leads anybody to believe that he misses her. He's saying things like, oh, she just needs to go home, not interested. Oh, this just in, Michael Vick turns himself in ahead of his sentencing date. He went ahead and turned himself in. I'm sure the NFL had something to do with that. Get your ass in jail. We don't want to deal with this shit. We need you back. So he turns himself in, and hopefully we'll find out about him and his dogs. Dog killer. You know, so Stacy and Drew Peterson. Drew Peterson is really not helping. Peterson's wife, Carol Brown, his first wife, said that he had never threatened or abused her during their six-year marriage, but she said he could be controlling, and while she was pregnant, she found out he had been cheating on her. So, I don't know what's going on. They've all, you know, cast contrasting portraits of him, all his other wives, saying he could be charming and supportive, then controlling and abusive. I mean, they're all saying the same thing. He's a cop who's controlling and abusive. And apparently, people think that they actually found his ex-wife also. He's 53, he's married to a 23-year-old chick, 30 years older than her. Crazy. They're saying that his ex-wife, the one who died before this one, who disappeared before this one, her body was exhumed, and it looks like she had been killed, then placed in a bathtub, contrary to what he said, that she drowned in the bathtub, resulting in a potential criminal act. Well, it looks like he may have faked the accident, and he could be guilty. He looks like he's guilty to me. The way, you know, his wife disappeared, and he's sitting there going to go home instead of saying, baby, you know, I love you, I miss you, I'm doing everything I can to find you. Our kids miss her, they want their mother, and I want to see their mother, and so we're doing everything we can. Instead, he comes out and he goes, What would you tell it? Go home. How you doing your Thanksgiving? I'm thankful that my kids are healthy. And fuck that bitch. Can you believe this shit? This is hilarious. But anyway, Drew Peterson, you're guiltier than shit. Gay as Christmas and guiltier than shit. All right, that's my call. In Shimonoseki, Japan. Japan is fucking up again. They're embarking on their largest whaling expedition in decades Sunday, targeting protected humpbacks for the first time since the 1960s, despite international opposition. So the Japanese are sticking their cocks into everybody's ass all over the world and saying they're little tiny cocks, so much so you don't really feel it. But and then they go, you know, we're going after the whales and we're gonna kill some whales. Unbelievable. This was banned. They plan to kill up to 50 humpbacks in what is to believe the first large-scale hunt for the once nearly extinct species since a 1963 moratorium in the Southern Pacific. But the giant marine mammals under international protection. The mission, the Japanese mission, aims to take as many as 935 minke whales and up to 50 fin whales in what Japan's fisheries agency say. They say it's their largest ever scientific whale hunt. They're calling this a scientific whale hunt. Here's what they're doing to the world. So the whole world gets together. Oh, let's protect the humpback whales. Let's make a movie, Star Trek, The Voyage Home, and we'll make it about Spock and Kirk and McCoy and Scott and Uhura and Sulu and Chekhov. And they go off and they happen to go in the fucking future in the past or something to bring a whale and bring it back to the future 2478 and use that whale to have them talk to this spatial probe that's coming to our solar system, talking whale. I mean, what the? Okay, so they save them and bring them back to the future San Francisco, put them in the water, and now it's all, oh, they're going to reproduce, they're going to do all this because the whales have been extinct, blah blah blah. Now Japan's like, you know what, fuck you, fuck all of this, fuck everybody, I don't give a shit, we're going to go hunt whales. As a matter of fact, tell you what, we're not, this is a scientific thing, so it's for science, so you should allow it, and it should be all right, we're going to do it, we're going to go find these whales, and we're going to check, see how they eat, how they fuck, we need to find out, you know, it's science, we need to find out what's going on, how they do it, because we got to figure out where they go. This is crazy. Apparently, the whale population had deterred to about 1,200 back in the day, and maybe hopefully now the American Cetacean Society estimates they've got about 30,000 to 40,000 whales out there. And whales were in trouble. I mean, they were everywhere, fine, but you could fucking put a boat in there. They would fucking crush it. They had to kill them and get rid of them. Japanese fisheries officials insist the population has returned to a sustainable level and that taking 50 of them will have no impact. They're going to grab 50 humpback whales, huge ones. The Japanese people are doing something extremely stupid. I cannot believe that they're actually using this as a scientific thing, saying, listen, it's just for scientific reasons. We're not trying to, start any shit. We just want to, find out how they eat. I don't know. On sadder notes, Kanye West's mom, Donda West, dies. And she apparently had plastic surgery done by Dr. Jan Adams. Dr. Adams has been, sued for malpractice. Apparently, he left a sponge in there. He did a bunch of things. He had drinking offenses, all kinds of bad things. That's like a ghetto doctor. That's why a white person would look at this guy and say, no wonder this guy's black. I mean, he's got all these black things. I mean, he's operating and killing black people. We don't give a shit. But Kanye's making a lot of money. And if he can't finish songs on stage, apparently he was at a concert and was having trouble finishing the day before his mother's funeral. That's pretty sad. I believe that was last night. I mean, I don't blame the guy. I don't know how you work. Your mother died. You need to take a couple of months off.
Anyway, there was a plastic surgery before and after show on the Discovery Health Network that was being hosted by Donda West's surgeon for 5 years, Jan Adams. Apparently, he is not the one. He's agreed to. He's not the only one that might be under scrutiny right now. He's certainly not a good doctor. There are others who do this kind of thing, but he's the one who's done it for black celebrities. And his ex-wife apparently took out a restraining order against him in the past. A lot of shit there. $30,000 warrant against for his arrest? Yikes. You know, I'm sorry, Kanye West. Unbelievable. Boy George has been charged with false imprisonment.
Eesh.
Allegedly, he did not want to hurt his victim, so that's a good idea. Marie Osmond's son is being treated for addiction. This is great. All the Osmonds are still getting high. They had a crazy life. There was a show called The Osmonds. Watch that. You get to understand the kind of craziness that was going on in the background. Father was whooping the mother's ass. It's like Bishop Weeks was whooping Juanita Bynum's ass. And she's still talking about it. She stayed in that way. She stayed in that marriage. She was afraid of what people in the church would think. So she figured, fuck it, let him continue beating my ass into the fucking ground. As long as those people in church don't think I'm a bad person, that's all that matters. Yeah, well, to all he is married to a friggin' lunatic, or hooked up with a lunatic and you're sticking around because you're afraid of what people will think, we think you're a dummy. How about that? Led Zeppelin reunion tickets are selling for $170,000. Led Zeppelin is back. They're doing a show. I'm a big fan of Led Zeppelin. Big, huge fan. I would love a ticket to that concert. Tickets are selling for $170,000. That's not the kind of money I roll with. Posh Spice is doing an exclusive interview with Yahoo Music, spilling all her secrets like Eddie Murphy is the father of a baby. Oh, no.
You're very posh.
Hey now, Michael Jackson may get back together with the Jackson 5. There may be a reunion in the works. Keep an eye out, because that's something I want to be part of. I'm not going to call them to have me on stage, but certainly I'll be talking about it. The King of Pop is back and looks weirder than ever. Yikes. That hurts. Apparently, employees at a California drug treatment center said no to Queens of the Stone Age, which is a band, a little rock and roll band, was going to go over there and play. And the rehab people said, no, no, no. All right. If you want to come sing in my rehab, I'm going to say no, no, no. Yikes. Kanye West's mom was actually remembered on the campus of the school at which she worked. People are out there that was saying, you know, she had a commitment to honoring black culture. No big I's and no little U's in Donda's department. She was really good out there. I'm not sure. I think she was doing English and communications. That was her department. Media arts. And theater. Wow, she served as chair of the English, as chair of the English and Communications Department, the Media Arts Department, and the Theater Department. So, she was well into reading, language, speaking, communicating, media and theater and entertainment and show business. And here comes Kanye West, a veritable bitch backstage. I've heard the word on the street is anybody doing a concert with Kanye really finds that he's a pain in the ass behind the stage. His mother was in the thick of it. He must have been raised with all of that information. He knows a lot about being in show business. Yikes. Oh, something interesting. An anonymous buyer has paid more than $30 million for a collection of rare U.S. prototype coins, some from the 1700s, that never went into circulation. That happened in Trenton, New Jersey. It's about 1,000 coins. Very incredible. The coins spanned the periods of between 1792 and 1942. includes test designs for the first pennies made in 1792. What do you do with that? Until 1909, when Abraham Lincoln's face was placed on the penny, presidents weren't allowed on coins. At the time, the first coins were minted in 1792. Putting the nation's leader on a coin seemed too similar to the practice of kings being displayed on European coins. Well, they're doing it on the dollar. What's the goddamn difference? Explain that to me. In Nairobi, a Kenyan court, that's in Kenya for you ignorant bitches, a Kenyan court has jailed a man who stole 55 shillings, which is about 80 cents, from a church collection plate. The second time he was convicted of this offense. This guy went to jail twice for stealing money out of the church plate. I wonder who pressed the charges, the church or the government, because as we know, the church is supposed to give money to those who don't have it. Theft of church property is common in the predominantly Christian East African nation. Nairobi's chief magistrate court on Thursday sent Mark Okoth to prison for a year, a whole year, for the October 28th theft. He was jailed for 2 years for a similar offense in 2002. My God, the guy's broke. 6 months ago, two thieves broke into the Kenyan Anglican Church offices and stole literature and drank altar wine worth nearly 480,000 shillings. That's $10. Yikes. Hey, here's something interesting. While the church is keeping money away from poor people, here are the 9 most racist Disney characters. Yeah, baby. You didn't know the merchant from Aladdin was racist, did you? That's right. The opening musical sequence from the hugely popular 1992 animated film had to be edited due to protests from Arab American groups for saying about the Middle East what most of us were merely thinking. Lesson learned. The Middle East is a barren wasteland where the justice system runs on a clear and simple limb removal policy. Best worst moment, when they cut off your ear if they don't like your face, is the offending line, which was changed on the DVD to the much less provocative, where it's flat and immense, and the heat is intense. Oh my God. Yeah, well, my question is, in a city full of Arabic men and women, where the hell does a Midwestern accented white piece of cornbread like Aladdin come from? Here he is next to the more ethnic-looking villain, Jafar. Look at that. This is crazy. Yeah. Oh my God. When they cut off your ear, if they don't like your face, where it's flat and immense and the heat is intense. We don't want everybody to talk about how they cut your limbs off in Saudi Arabia. Just have them say that it's big and very deserted and hot. Sebastian from The Little Mermaid. The Jamaican-sounding crab teaches Ariel that life is better under the sea because underwater you don't have to get a job. Oh my God. I bet you some Jamaican jumped on that and was like, oh, hell no. Are you kidding me? They changed the song. It's up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we devoting full time to floating under the sea. Yikes, all right. Too racist. The crows from Dumbo. Dumbo, in this 1941 classic, the flying elephant runs into a band of jive-talking black crows who sing, I'll be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly. Oh my God. Come on, blackbirds acting in a manner stereotypically assigned to African Americans. Is that offensive, though? Of course it's offensive. What are we, black crows? Jim Crow? There's a connection there. And you've got to be honest about that a little bit. People never think about that. They never think about how you might offend somebody else. That's kind of crazy. How about this? King Louis from The Jungle Book. Huh? We moved from Disney, decided to leave, portray the portrayal of blacks as black crows. And now they start portraying them as monkeys instead in The Jungle Book. King Louis is crazy. All the animals in the jungle happen to speak with a proper British accent, except for, of course, the jive-talking, gibberish-spouting monkeys. is and they desperately want to become real people. I mean, this is horrible. Come on. And they've been portraying blacks in bad light for so long. I mean, this is totally an example of it. We've had to live with this for a long time. Number five, the Siamese twin Siamese twin gang from Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Overt racism against African Americans was obviously intolerable. By this time, the Chippendale series began in '89. Now they began being racist towards Siamese, Chinese people. We're still dealing with that. It's not really, you know, we're trying to help out the blacks. But listen, the Asians are still wide open here. How about Sunflower the Centaur from Fantasia? Huh? I mean, this guy, these African centaurs, sounding like Don Imus and looking like crazy. This is crazy. I think the guy was actually gay. I mean, somebody complained about that, and obviously that was removed. Number three, the Indians from Peter Pan, the red man in the Peter Pan movie, was explaining his people's history and culture. He's called the red man. Why do Native Americans ask you how? That's how we say hello, you dumb redskin, or white skin, or pale skin. That was an outrageously racist, certainly. Uncle Remus from Song of the South, and the number one racist character in Disney, from Mickey Mouse and the Boy Thursday. It's a book. Forgotten book from 1948. Mickey gets a crate full of West African bananas and finds an African inside instead. Ha! The savage soon is confused by Mickey's human lifestyle and commits random acts of violence. Lesson learned, what is the deal with Africans? If they're not trying to eat it or throw a spear at it, they're worshipping it as some sort of tribal deity. Am I right? My God, this book compiles almost every offensive preconception of Africa lurking in the American subconscious. Here are some choice quotes. Well, well, Mickey laughed, so I'm supposed to be your governess and nursemaid, and you can't even talk. Let me see, a genuine African native. Perhaps I should start showing him off. Unbelievable. Perhaps the most depressing part is that this was somebody's idea of tolerance back in the 40s. Poor little guy, he just makes mistakes. He doesn't know any better. I'll just have to be patient and teach him the right way to do things. Wow, I've got to help the blacks figure things out. Big Monkey, Black Crow, African in the Box. Walt Disney, thank you very much for your perception of blacks. We're glad you're dead. For the moment, this is Dr. Mo. Thank you for listening, bitches. You are exiting the danger zone. Don't take it right.